I know of one young woman who struggled head-on with the cancer of comparing. She found herself on the short end of the social stick, heartbroken about the comparisons and possible rejection. I remember saying to her how much God loved her for her own sake, and that she should not compare herself to anybody else, and that if she could become increasingly Christ-centered, the tendency to compare would recede and might eventually be eliminated altogether. She wouldn't feel the pain of people's anticipated judgments of her because she would feel so strongly the love of the Lord. She could hardly believe me at first. Her school culture had so ingrained in her that she needed to have all of the right clothes, all of the right friends, all of the right mannerisms, even down to a certain kind of hairstyle. She was so deeply engaged in the system of basing her self-worth on comparison with others that she simply could not see another way of determining her worth. People with a scarcity mindset like that young woman had actually liked hearing about the weaknesses of others. It makes them feel justified or at least equal. Just look at the obsession some people have gossiping about other people's weaknesses. It's a clear case of a lack of charity. As one wise soul put it, when man found the mirror, he began to lose his soul. The point is, he became more concerned with his image than with his self. Close quote. The Apostle Paul said, charity envieth not, seeketh not her own, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Charity, or the pure love of Christ, produces an abundance mentality so that we're never threatened by the successes of other people. We don't get hung up on position or credentials, associations or affiliations, good looks or fashion. As we are introduced into a celestial culture, the culture of the external world becomes relatively unimportant to us. Where do we get this scarcity mentality? Is it just our nature? I suggest it is not. It is a learned nature. The notion of scarcity comes out of social conditioning, being compared with siblings, being graded on a curve, participating in school athletics or popularity contests, and so forth. Athletic experiences in particular continually pump competitive blood through the bodies, hearts, and minds of participants and their loved ones. Some children raised in family climates of abundance learn the scarcity mentality through highly competitive high school athletics. Here, children are often taught that winning is the main end, rather than skill development, growth, and fun. Interestingly, truly great coaches and teams tend to view competition more as a measuring stick of their own personal development. When asked about how he scouted other teams, John Wooden, who earned more NCAA basketball titles than any other coach, replied, "We only worry about doing our best." In his paradigm of competition, it is possible to lose and still have a successful game. For those with a scarcity mentality, a comparison-based identity, the big issue of life becomes fairness, and often the dominant goal is to win, to beat others, to be number one. But the whole scarcity concept is a flawed, apostate notion. It creates an unhealthy hunger to get ahead, to have more, to be more, and it leads to all kinds of prejudices, judgments, and labels. In the words of C.S. Lewis, "Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the next man." It's hard to love unconditionally with a scarcity mindset. It's hard to experience charity, which is the pure love of Christ. Ironically, however, the pure love of Christ is the only real antidote to a scarcity mentality, because people must truly feel this love before they can get a sense of self from the divine source. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." In other words, he taught us an abundance mentality. This Christ-centered mindset flows from the knowledge of who we really are, and from the deep inner sense of personal worth and security that accompanies that knowledge. It assures us that we have no need to make comparisons or compete with others, because the love of our Heavenly Father and our Savior is unlimited. Having an abundance mentality enables us to live with joy and cheerfulness. It enables us to have faith and hope and the other positive ideas that come with a correct paradigm that says the Lord is in charge here, that He knows us for who we really divinely are. One woman who had gone through divorce found her sense of self-worth floundering until she discovered these truths. This is the way she put it. Although I feel like I have been through a lot of trials in my life, there has been nothing like going through a divorce. At first, I couldn't believe this was happening to me and my family. When we were sealed in the temple, I truly believed that it was forever. I think what I struggled with the most was the emotional implications of being divorced. I really struggled with an overwhelming sense of failure. I felt like I was such a failure, that I had failed myself, my children, and Heavenly Father. During the darkest of days, there was one thing that I continued to hold on to, and that was the knowledge that I am a child of God. That belief grounded me and got me through a lot of difficulty. I spent a lot of time on my knees, and He told me that I was His and that He loved me. Close quote.